Well, welcome back to the Empowered Homeowner. I have to tell you, January comes and we all put away our holiday decorations and we stare at our homes and they look so barren and they look blah. And that is the perfect time to consider getting that fresh coat of paint, getting that fresh coat of color on the walls to bring some life back into your spaces. So I am so excited today to sit down with Christian and Angelina from Militello Painting. They are in Ambler, which is my backyard. And there's so much for us to know about doing a paint project and how to hire the right crew and make sure it's done well. So thanks for joining today. Again, I am Beth Allen, your host. I am a DIY expert, an educator, and a contractor. So let's talk paint. Welcome to you two.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So excited to talk about that fresh look. And I know, to me, paint is everything. It changes a room dramatically.
It does. I mean, it's the last thing everybody sees. You know, there's plumbers, there's electricians, there's drywallers, there's framers, but the only thing you see is the paint.
Yeah, and when you put that perfect color on the wall, the room has life. And to me, painting is like one of the most inexpensive, powerful investments in any room.
Yeah.
And it's the palette that pulls that whole room together. So can you share a little bit about your family business and the background of how you two ended up doing this? And together, of course, there's the marriage working together piece.
Yeah, so just similar to your story that I heard prior to this, my grandfather was a handyman, and I just used to help him cutting glass and soldering, changing oil, rotors, whatever, as a kid growing up. Played some college baseball, and through that, I met some friends that owned painting companies, and I worked with them. After college, I did some things here and there and decided to start painting on my own full-time. It was a fun job. I was 22 years old, 21 years old, and it was good money for just myself and my friends, you know, when we would go to the Ben Elbow.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now McGurk's.
Now McGurk's. So 22 was perfect, you know.
That's like 2001 we're talking, yeah. Right?
Oh, gosh. Don't date ourselves, right? It was like, oh, my God.
Just got to put it into perspective.
Yeah. So things got a little more serious as you start having kids, right? And you need to become a little more responsible. Angelina was a graduate of Penn State University.
Yep.
With a kinesiology degree.
I was. I was working at Drescher Physical Therapy at the time. Christian and I were just dating, and he had asked me in so many ways to kind of take a leap of faith and join him on his journey. So I could see that he needed some help in the office, you know, because he was like a one-man show. He was doing it all.
Busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Exactly.
Let's just say I know why contractors don't call people back. You know,
right.
Like I was on a 40-foot ladder answering a phone call.
Yeah.
How am I going to send an invoice out from there? How am I going to set up an estimate from there?
Right. How am I going to book that next appointment?
Yeah, I
when
totally
I'm
get it.
Hanging off of a ladder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you walked away from healthcare to go into home improvement, just like I did.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a change. You know, so I knew Christian kind of needed help doing these like the business side of things, which I was not, had no business degree or anything like that.
Well, you two
so
have certainly nailed it because you're thriving and you're really doing well. And I keep seeing your trucks and I see your signs. And someone messaged me last night and said they knew that I was going to be interviewing you and they said you were fantastic.
Oh.
And they were so happy with the services you provided.
That's good to hear.
And that
That's
came
awesome.
Out of nowhere. So,
that's awesome to hear.
You know, that was a genuine testimonial. So
That's nice.
I always like to ask, what is the mission, you know, behind your services? Where do you see your work and your team coming into that home renovation and making that impact?
Yeah. So the mission, I think the mission changes as your career changes or the size of your company or the people you employ or the people you work for, it all changes. When I was younger, the mission was different than it is now. When my position was a painter, it's different than it is now. And I'm going to read from my – we operate with a system called EOS, which is Traction. And we just did our VTO, Vision Traction Organizer, yesterday. And I redid our three-year picture – which was working together as a unified team to build trust, follow established processes, and deliver exceptional service from start to finish, all while achieving shared commitment to excellence. So that is our vision.
I feel that.
Our mission. And that can mean different things for different people in different positions within the company.
Right.
So that might mean something different for a painter or a salesperson.
Terrific. So tell me about the team. What kind of positions do you have so that if someone calls, you know, for an estimate, they understand what is the process? Who are the players?
Oh, you want me to answer?
Yeah.
So we have an office team that I lead. So it's myself and Nicole in the office. She'll be the one that answers the phone if a client does call in. We also have Adriana, who's my sister, who works with us part-time. She also answers the phone, does some admin tasks, some social media. We have three salesmen. We have a general manager. We have an operations manager. We have some project managers. So we have a lot of leadership team. And we have, you know, our field employees. We have both in-house and some subcontractors that we use.
How big of a crew do you have now?
So in the office, it's probably, I don't know, 8 to 10, 10, mm-hmm. something like that.
Wow.
When we're in full power washing season, it's four full-time power washers. And paint season can go from 8 to 10 up to 50.
Wow.
And like Angelina had said, we do use subcontractors, not until COVID.
Right.
I've been doing this for 23 years, and it took until COVID for me to experiment with that.
And it worked?
It did. There were some safety blankets that I needed because I thought subcontracting and the word itself was dirty. I thought it was a way to cheat the system, that you weren't a real business. I've since learned that's not the case.
Right. If you have the right subs, it works beautifully.
It does.
And just making sure you have quality people on hand.
Quality people. If you have a right onboarding process, interview process, and you treat them with respect and dignity, just like you would an employee, it works wonderfully.
Yeah, and you can build your team, and you have that extra resource to pull from if you're getting more calls and you're not pushing people off.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we can't get to you for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, to
pay
your bathroom or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And we have some really great subcontractors that work for us and with us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to do some steps. I brought on a guy who I was the best man in his wedding. So that when you ask about family, I brought him on to help run the subcontractors and interview them before I brought on a subcontractor. And we just make sure that we inspect all the jobs during the process. And when we pay our subs, it's not like, hey, you're going to meet up here or meet up there. It's direct deposit. And we found that they're very good at their jobs.
Right. And they're happy to work for you, who is bringing the leads, who is giving them feeding them the clientele, without the overhead on their end. So it works for both of you.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Or they don't have to go do the estimates. They don't have to do the marketing. They don't have to do
They can just
do the things that they're really good at,
yeah,
and that they have a craft in, which is painting, and sometimes some other specialty services like carpentry, wallpaper, things that they're really good at.
Yeah. I love
they can focus on
wallpaper.
That.
I know people think
you're hired.
I love wallpaper. Like I was telling you, I grew up, my mom worked for a wallpaper company when I was a child. And of course, this was back in the 70s. Everything was covered in wallpaper, right? But to this day, I still love it. It's just such a puzzle.
It's coming back.
The pattern. And yeah, I have a couple places in my house that have wallpaper. Not every room and not the light switches and the wall vents, but you get my point.
It's the taking down of the wallpaper. That makes me not want to put it up.
You know what came full circle for me was when my mom passed and we sold her house. My three sons helped me remove the wallpaper that I had hung with my mother when I was 10.
I mean, that's pretty.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was neat. Emotional and kind of this full circle experience.
Yeah, that is.
It was really kind of neat. So
generational.
Yeah. That paper was on to last, though, because my mother knew how to hang it, and it was good paper. So can you tell me the process? So I pick up the phone or I find you on social media. I go to your website. How does it work from, hey, I would like to have my bedroom painted? Tell me what that process is for customers to experience.
So you can find us online and then schedule your online estimate directly through our scheduling link, which I think is great. People have the convenience sitting on their couch watching TV at 8 o'clock at night and say, oh, you know, they want to get a painting estimate. They don't have to wait till we're in the office to do it. So they can do it online, and or they can give us a call in the office, schedule the estimate. They'll receive an email confirmation. We do send a email with a picture of the estimator ahead of time so they know who's coming to their house, who they can expect.
Can I tell you, for the population I work with, which is very often single, divorced, and widowed women, having that kind of accountability of knowing who's the gentleman that's going to be at your door is such a wonderful piece.
Yeah, I really like that too. And it gives them a little look into their, you know, there's a bio there, some other pictures, their interests, you know, just it's, you know, you get to know the estimator before he comes to your house. So, and then also it lists some questions, what to think about ahead of time.
Okay.
So that you're prepared to ask the estimator about. So they get the email, and then during the estimate, I guess Christian could take that. That's his area.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a questionnaire, an intake form. You can either call and they Nicole enter it, or Adrian will enter it, or you enter it online. We ask a bunch of questions, like, what are you looking to have done? Believe it or not, we actually do ask, like, a budget question on our intake form. What would you like to spend? It was not a comfortable question to ask initially.
Right.
Because I think the general feeling towards salespeople is that they're out to get you.
Right.
And they're
so
not.
If I say I can afford $1,500,
you're going
to bill me $1,499.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
But really, from my perspective as a sales, so the job gets handed off to a salesperson to come to an estimate. If I see that on there, it helps me have a conversation around pricing and why they may be spot on. Hey, are you educated in this? Like, did you ever have work done before? You know, right. Like, how do you know, like, the pricing? Or, hey, I need 6 bedrooms done and my budget's $3,000. Well, we need to have a conversation about, like, your scope or your budget.
Right.
So then we come out and do an estimate.
Because they're saying that budget, but they could have, you know, 3 layers of wallpaper on 3 rooms. So,
yeah.
You know, they're thinking, oh, I'm getting it painted. Well, it's not just painting.
Yeah.
It's all the prep that goes into it.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
that they can't account for that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I try and
okay.
tell people, hey, like, this door right here, this 6-panel door, I could paint this entire wall before I'm finished that door because it's all brushwork.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're not moving very far. So we'll come out there, do an estimate. We have an estimating software and program we use. It's all encompassed in one with our, like, the administrative stuff, the billing stuff, all
or CRM.
It's called an ERP or yep. CRM.
Yeah. And I think that is fantastic so that when you do call for the estimate, you're not – When you're told that it's $2,000 for this paint project, it's not just pulled from the air. These numbers are calculated based on linear feet, square mm-hmm. footage, you know, is it the trim? Is it, you know, how much prep? So that you're able to calculate very accurately what that is, and you're not just doing it on a whim.
Yeah.
And it makes people feel better than the guy who's standing on the curb with the paintbrush, like, yeah, I can start tomorrow, and,
right.
you know, it's X amount of money.
Yeah, so it is. Driven by production rates, metrically driven, metric-based bidding, because I can't stand time and materials. It's like I've had work done at my house, and I've had people do time and materials, and I have that – let's say my budget was $3,000, and we didn't talk about that. That's extremely frustrating to get a $6,000 bill at the end of that when you didn't know. So we try and avoid all time and material costs. Sometimes it's unavoidable, like wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give a time and materials a budget – and say it may exceed this, some carpentry, things like that. But we're trying to avoid that in 2025.
Right. Yep.
The estimate gets delivered. We try and deliver it right on the spot.
Okay.
Bigger jobs take a little bit more time, complex jobs, jobs with a lot of paint colors. We try and deliver the estimate right on the spot and talk through the process. Don't need to make a decision on the spot. Obviously, it's always beneficial from our side, even from both sides. Like, the decision-making process is done. That is the most stressful part.
Committing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just committing. Yes, I'm going to do this room and I'm going to paint.
Well, I would say sometimes the most stressful is picking colors.
Oh,
but that's
absolutely.
A whole nother stressor.
Yes, the color component. We're going to talk about color,
yeah.
but that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Well, for me as a buyer, like I like overanalyze everything and I'm like, "Oh, I need to go get like can I shop around here? Can I get there?" Once the decision is made, I can move on to the next
thing.
It's
like the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point, we'll send the estimate
via
email. We used to be print them out and put them in folders.
Mm-hmm.
Our insurance paperwork is in there, so like people don't have to ask for our insurance.
Right.
We are consumers also. You're a consumer. It is sometimes a little uncomfortable to ask somebody for their insurance because you don't want to disrespect them.
Right, right. But as a homeowner, you do want to know that that person is insured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because as much as you ask about contracts, or I should say contractor licenses and things, in the state of Pennsylvania, the threshold for having a contractor license is not high.
No.
So what is more important is insurance,
yeah.
is making sure that that person is adequately insured for any damages at your property,
yeah.
more
yeah.
so than the contracting license.
With both workers' compensation and general liability.
Yes.
General liability covers damage to your house. Workers' compensation covers anybody being injured on your property.
Right. And when you're talking about painting, interior, outdoor, exterior, power washing, people climbing ladders, that's a whole different level of
yeah.
you know, workers'
liability.
Comp liability mm-hmm. than it is somebody who's on the ground floor.
Yep.
Yeah. And the subcontractors, too, I just want to make sure to point out that they have to have workers' comp general liability on their own. We also have supplemental, but we won't even entertain a conversation with a subcontractor if they don't have the insurance right. that we need.
Right. Yep. So in Pennsylvania, just to be clear, the state of Pennsylvania does not require you to have workers' compensation if you're a single owner operator.
Right.
We do have some subs that are owner-operators, and we also require them to have the workers' compensation, even
okay.
though it's not required.
Okay. But you take it up a notch to deliver
yeah.
high quality, to make sure you're having good people coming mm-hmm. into people's homes, that homes are well cared for and all of that, and it matters.
Yeah. So after that, the decision process happens. We make sure we try and schedule a time to follow up. We make sure actually we get a commitment from the client that if we get your answering machine, can you call us back? Because a lot of times people are embarrassed to tell somebody no.
Right.
We just want to hear yes, no, or
right.
call me back later.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And not to be, intimidated to say, you know what?
It's okay.
I'm going to go another route.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that you're not nice people. It's not that, you know, I don't like your work. Maybe your price is different. It's higher.
Yeah.
Maybe your scope, your timing, all of that. But as homeowners, I tell especially women homeowners who, and I don't want to, you know, put stereotypes, but women can be more passive when it comes to home-related things. And we need to not be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say to that contractor, you know what? Appreciate the estimate. It's just not the right fit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wish you well. I appreciate your time. It doesn't mean it's a problem. We all want to avoid confrontation and, you know, we
yeah.
feel like we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. It's a business proposal. It's not a wedding proposal.
No, yes. Even that you might want to say no to. So.
Right, you know,
yeah.
it's not the right fit. But I think that's great that you encourage people just yes, no, maybe. Let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
don't be shy about it.
Yeah.
Talk to
yeah.
us.
Yeah. No is music to our ears also because that means we can move on to the next.
Well, sure. It's that I'm calling them back and you're waiting.
Yeah.
And don't leave
we
people hanging.
We don't
want to
annoy you either.
Right. Well, it's like the boyfriend and the bad breakup. Like, just do it, you know?
Yeah, what did I do?
Move on, yeah.
Not answering me. What did I do wrong, you know?
You know. Right. Okay, so when people have signed that contract, what is a typical time frame? You know, where are you in terms of timetable for?
Once the job can get produced.
Once the contract is signed and you're like, yay, what are you looking at usually?
So it's seasonal.
Okay.
But primarily we try to stay about 2 weeks out.
Okay.
Now when we were a little bit smaller of a company, it might have been 3 months out. Like we were booked all summer.
Right. But now that you have those great subs, you have more people to pull from
yeah.
to get projects
mm-hmm.
done.
Yeah. So we try and stay 2 weeks out, which is
it's
very nerve-wracking.
Well, yeah, it's constantly turning.
When you build your
yeah,
life,
right.
we're a family-based business, and we're dual-income family, right?
Right.
But the dual income is from one business. So when you book out all summer, you can budget your life around that.
Right.
When you're only 2 weeks booked out, it's difficult. But that's
right.
not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm sure you have some clients that call you and say, I want to book you to paint, but I don't want it for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because maybe contracting work is finishing up so that you do then are like, oh, great.
Yeah.
You know, we have a little leeway and you can fill that other time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And timing is such a process and getting that right because you want to make sure that your timing the construction and then the painting and then maybe the flooring after the painting. And because people always say to me, well, do you do the walls and then the floors? And I'm like, I work from the top down. Ceiling, walls, trim, floor. Like that's how I would prefer to do it.
Now, it also depends on the service too. So like cabinets, we only do cabinets in-house, meaning with our employees. And that can be, as they start to backlog, can take a little bit of time.
Okay. Yeah. Because painting cabinets is a different animal. And people need to
know. It's a specialty.
It's a specialty. Mm-hmm. And you don't just sand a cabinet door and put latex paint on it. Yeah. There's a process. I've done 3 kitchens myself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a process.
And wrong or right, we only do them one way, and that's to spray them. Mm-hmm. So we won't brush and roll them. So it takes a little bit longer.
That's what I did, too. I sprayed because it gives you the best coat and the more finished look.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So then it goes to a production, and our production team takes over from there.
Okay.
Job gets produced. We have since moved to what we call an NPS score, Net Promoter Score. So after the first day of the job, they get a question. How was the first day? There's 3 questions, right?
First
estimate.
After the estimate.
Yep.
So we're always asking for feedback from the clients throughout the whole process. So after the estimator goes that first day, I think at 8 o'clock at night, they're going to get like a little text that just says, how was your estimate or how was your salesman? So just so we can get real time feedback. And then after the first day of production, they'll also get a little text message that just says, how was your first day? And it's nice. Most of the time, everything's great. Sometimes we want to know right away if there's something that somebody's not happy with. So it just helps the progress of the job go smoother.
Yeah. So then the job's produced, handed back over to coordination. Actually, our project managers do the invoicing when the job's done. They'll do a final walkthrough.
Okay, they do.
Yeah, do a final
walkthrough. And that is something that's really important because a lot of companies don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't send a supervisor of sorts to go out and do that final walkthrough because that is when they find the issues of, oh, this edge wasn't done or trim or this was done sloppily. And I mean, I've walked into some people's homes who have hired painters and I'm like aghast.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've been into homes and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I am. But considering my career and where it's taken me, like I wasn't always the best painter, you know?
Sure.
So, and the budget has to fit a certain amount too, you know?
Right.
So I think there's just because somebody can't afford us or they need to afford somebody. Paint does provide a protection, especially on exteriors and things like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we do. So we're also there checking in on the job. Pictures are sent to the office. Everybody knows what's going on.
Progress updates.
Progress updates, all that kind of stuff, which is, again, what made me feel comfortable bringing in subcontractors. So we do a walkthrough. They sign a warranty form, and then they sign off on the job, label all the paint.
That is huge. Tell me about that. How does your team label the paint?
So we, within our ERP or CRM, all the colors get put in there. So we always have that.
Okay.
We actually print return address labels with a QR code on them. What's the QR code goes to, like a review?
Well, we have a couple. So on the can that they're left with, it has just our website, like information. Mm-hmm. And then Scott or whoever the PM is will label what room it is for, and then we do leave leftover paint. But we also have this that we leave on top of our cookie cans. We call them gratitude cans.
Okay.
So at the end of every job, we will leave the client with a little thank you from us, and it has some either cookies in there, chocolate covered pretzels, candies.
And it has your QR code, and that takes them where?
To leave us a Google review.
Nice.
If they want to give us their feedback.
Okay.
And then we also have the NPS score that goes out.
Yeah.
That's terrific. So what a great way. I always tell people, marking your paint for the touch-ups is huge. And here's another hint or another little hack is put clear tape over the label because the labels can fade over time. Mm-hmm. I have some Home Depot paint labels that I can't read anymore because the print has faded in the basement.
Yeah.
So if you put tape, Scotch tape,
that's
over
great.
The label, it won't fade,
yeah.
and you'll always be able to see
There's
it.
A couple hacks you can do with always leave it temperature controlled.
Yes, not right? in the garage. No. It should be in a basement or a utility yep. space.
And if you try and get yep. touch-up paint, try and buy it from the same store. The tint machines are based off of an algorithm, which
oh,
is the best
I didn't
guess.
Know that.
So when we buy paint and we have to buy more, we try and buy from the same store.
So not just the same brand, but the same physical
store.
Location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's certain ways to touch up too, which is like you take a paper towel mm-hmm. and you can touch up a wall mm-hmm. instead of getting a roller out or a paintbrush, and it actually will mimic the stipple.
Perfect.
And you can just throw away the paper towel as opposed yeah. to having to get all that dirty stuff out.
Oh, my gosh. I use a yeah. paper plate too.
Ah.
If I just need to do a little touch up. Yeah. So if you are going to use like the mini rollers, what yeah. I will use, mm-hmm. I will use a paper plate because you're not grabbing yeah. the whole tray and you just put a little blob on it, you roll it on the paper plate, and then you toss the plate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's just little hacks to save you.
So many tips and tricks that I love. You know, like, just so many.
Yeah. The saran wrap on the lid before you put the yeah. top on.
They'll
you
rust know. Out too. They were painting about to get off the rust.
Yeah.
Of
so just those things that so that when you have that touch of paint, you can get back yeah. to it. So I love talking about paint. It is just so important. So we're going to take a break for a second, but then I want to talk about what is the prep of actually painting a room and having people understand the prep, the color process, and some of the tips and tricks for really how you get great paint jobs. But we're going to take a pause, and we're going to hear from our friends at Laurel House, because as much as we love beautifying our homes, we want to make sure that all the women in our community and men who might be facing domestic violence have a chance at safety and security too.
Since 1980, Laurel House has been a lifeline for domestic violence survivors in Montgomery County, offering a safe shelter, a 24/7 hotline, trauma counseling, relationship education for teens, court accompaniment, and medical advocacy. But there's more work to do. Together, we can end domestic violence and help families rebuild their lives, whether it's volunteering at their thrift shops, assisting with childcare, or becoming a text line responder. Your time can make a real impact. With training and support, you can become an advocate for survivors in our community. To learn more about volunteering, donating, or simply offering your support, visit laurelhouse.org or call 610-277-1860. Every action counts. Together, we can make a difference. When the seniors in your life are facing a new chapter, the journey can be overwhelming. At Senior Transition Services, they understand that relocating isn't just about moving things. It's about honoring a lifetime of memories while preparing for a new lifestyle. While serving Bucks and Montgomery counties, the Main Line, and Northeast Philadelphia, they provide expert move preparation and downsizing assistance with a focus on empathy and compassion. They guide you and your loved ones every step of the way, identifying which items could be moved, ensuring that treasured belongings find new homes, and cherished memories are preserved. Embrace this new phase of life with confidence and peace of mind. Senior Transition Services, where your past is honored and your future is embraced. Call today at 215-947-5490.
So guys, let's talk some nitty-gritty about paint. So I'm going to hit you with some quick speed questions here. Favorite paint company?
I like Sherwin-Williams and Benjamin Moore.
Perfect. I like Sherwin-Williams and Behr.
There you go.
Sherwin-Williams is my go-to. I find that the staff, they know their products.
Yeah.
And they are just there to give you all the attention and the resources.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you. Definitely Sherwin's my go-to. Is there a particular paint that you love? Like a particular line of paint or one paint product that you're like, this is my favorite paint?
I really have Emerald Designer Series. Eggshell finish is what I like the most. It's not too mm-hmm. shiny. It's almost like a matte, but it's mm-hmm. a little bit more durable.
In the Emerald Collection?
In the Emerald Collection. I like the Regal Select with Benjamin Moore. They're probably my go-to.
Your go-tos. Okay. So when somebody comes to you and they've approved the contract and you have to talk color, tell me about the color finding process, because that's what it's all about, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's, ooh, I love that color on my wall. But how do you choose the color for people?
Color is so personal and subjective. So I, for many years, was the one answering the phone and talking to clients. And a lot of clients would ask me my opinion, my suggestions, recommendations. And to be honest, Christian knows, I am the probably worst decision maker. So I always felt so much stress with that. But now we have color consultants that we offer. So we have 2 to 3, depending on the time of year, color consultants that we will suggest to use. And we cover that cost. So it's up to an hour for free color consultation. They come to their houses and help choose colors. You know, they're the professionals. They're the ones that know best.
That is such a gift.
Color theory is a whole thing.
It is. And color is so important because if you're going to spend the time, if you're DIYing, or the money, if you're hiring a pro, and you don't love that color, it is such a disappointing process.
Yeah.
Such a process.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to see that first roll go on and go, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And not go, oh my gosh, oh my God, I hate it.
It's happened.
And now you've got 5 gallons of the stuff.
It's happened.
Yeah. I mean, we've had calls to Sherwin-Williams like, can you lighten this color? Like, what can we do with the 5 gallons that we've already purchased for this client? And there's sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But the color consultants that we work with are really great and clients really like them.
Yeah. We've gotten nothing but great feedback. They're also interior designers, which helps them.
Right.
They're very, very good. Sherwin-Williams has an online virtual.
They have the design tools.
Design tools.
You can put your photos in and you can change up the colors.
Well, you can also schedule a consultation with them for free.
Right. You can have them come out and do the or they do the virtual.
They do virtual. Now. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, because nailing that color is so important. You know, I remember I did a color consult for someone. Their son wanted Flyers orange. Okay. Now, I mean, we're sports people. You know, Flyers orange is a very distinct color. And it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm behind the mom going, no, we can't paint this entire room orange.
Right.
So we ended up painting the walls gray. And I had them do like a 12-inch wide horizontal stripe of orange.
Oh, that's perfect.
Through the room at like 5 feet high. Yeah. And it was just this dramatic pop, and he could like decorate around it. But but again, if people don't know, they're calling you and they want pumpkin orange in their bedroom, and then 6 months later, they're gonna hate it.
Yeah.
I was telling you before about our Eagles green. We did that bedroom makeover.
Still looks good
for one of our clients' sons, and it was great.
Yeah, and it's just guiding people to make solid decisions that, you know. Paint is not pillows. You know what I mean? Like, you buy pillows from Home Goods and you hate them 3 weeks later, you go buy new pillows.
Yeah.
But painting, it's something that you hope to have probably, 7 to 10 years?
Yep.
Be happy with.
Till a trend changes or there's enough, or usually your kids age out, right? Or damage has been done to the walls again because the kids age out.
But
The color consultations have helped us and the clients. I mean, picking the colors is like the number one reason why it takes so long to schedule a job with us.
Really?
Because it's just so hard. So when we all started adding color consultations, it's helped so much.
It just gets that process done. Yeah. And all right. That's awesome. When it comes to prep work, what do you wish homeowners knew about the type of prep that needs to be done and how that is sometimes even a bigger part of the process than the actual rolling?
Yeah. The first thing I wish they knew is what they have to do, believe it or not. So when we walk into a room and it's an office and I go, they're like, what? I'm like, you got a lot of work here. Like, there is a lot of knickknacks, trinkets. So number one is the work that they have to do to prepare the home for work. Same as any other contractor. If you're going to have a GC in, you got to strip the room down. You know, they're not moving your bedroom furniture. We'll move the big stuff.
Right.
But really getting prepared for a contractor in your home.
So it's getting rid of the paper piles, getting rid of the tchotchkes, putting all that stuff away so that you're down to the furniture and you have removed all the wall stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And we always ask clients, so if they're taking down picture frames or any wall decor, if you want it to go back up in the same place, we ask them to leave the screws or hooks in place.
Okay.
And that to us is a sign. And we'll go over this also on the first day. but that is assigned to us to not fill those holes.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, if they want a fresh blank canvas and they want to take down their picture frames, then take the screws out or the nails out and we'll fill the holes.
Now, we'll do all this for you, too. You know, I came from a broken home. You know, my parents are still, you know, here. I'm still, you know, good relationship with both of them. But I live with my mom, so, you know, we are compassionate towards the people who can't do this stuff, right?
Right. There's some people that don't have the skill set, you know, or the hand strength, the ladder abilities, you know, to climb. So
that gets into what we will do, right? So we'll come there, and if there's some more prep that we need to do for the homeowner based on their ability or inability, we can do that, too. We basically come in, strip the room down as needed based on the scope of work. So if we're doing ceilings, if we're not doing the ceilings, we may not need to cover the part of the center part of the room.
Right.
We try and use paper as opposed to canvas drop cloths on floors as much as we can.
I love canvas or the cardboard paper roll. Yeah, love that.
It is so – we like clean job sites.
Yeah.
It is so much easier to clean up a job site at the end of every day as opposed to shaking out a canvas drop cloth.
Yeah.
Plastic out everything for an interior. We're ready to go, right? Okay. We'll start prepping nail pops, tape, spackling. Sometimes there's jobs that require multiple coats of spackle. People don't understand that on a smaller job that costs more money because it's multiple trips.
Yes, people think you can spackle and paint in one day. And if you want it to go badly, you can try. But you really need to give that spackle a full 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it's a process.
Yeah, it takes time for products to dry, especially caulk. So actually with caulking, the longer it takes to dry, the better it'll last. The longer it'll last. They do have lightning caulk, 30 minutes, things like this. But the longer it takes, the better finish you'll have. All the sanding, then we do a first coat. Spot prime all the spackle spots. We'll do a first coat. We get a new fresh eyes on it. If there's any spackling that needs to be done again, we'll do that. Typically, on larger projects that is not required for a quick turnaround, we do the trim first.
Okay.
So we'll do the returns on the door, which is the little lip on the side of the
door.
Yep,
the side, yep.
We'll do the baseboard. Then we go to ceilings and then walls last. I'm an old school painter. I always could cut a tight line.
Me too. Right? I don't tape.
We will try and tape as much as we can, believe it or not.
Okay.
We are a premium. Or I believe in giving the best product we can back to our clients. If we can leave a straighter line with tape than a hand, that's what we want to do.
Right.
Now, sometimes you can't do that because you need a quick turnaround and you do need to do a process with it.
Right. A lot of people don't realize, though, that if you don't apply the tape straight, you won't paint straight.
Yeah.
So if you can't apply that neatly, then it's not going to be of use to you.
Yeah,
so that's why
there's a skill to all of it.
Yeah.
Same with ceilings. People are like, oh, why is my line crooked? I'm like, well, your ceiling's crooked.
Exactly.
There's a dip.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about that unless you want to paint it crooked so it doesn't look it.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of things that we can't do. We're not miracle workers, right?
Right.
These two-story foyers, there's a bow in the wall where the second story is.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, you got to cut the drywall out and, like, move your studs back. Or you can just choose flat paint, which gives less reflection and – then we clean up and that's it.
And you're good.
Yeah. Sometimes there's more prep depending on the scope. Wallpaper is a huge, if you were you know about wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't size the wall, which is their primer, like it comes off in little pieces.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If they use the wrong glue, it comes off in little pieces.
Yes. If it was cheap paper versus good quality, is it vinyl? Is it all paper? I mean, it's, you know, so say somebody has a bedroom that is all wallpaper.
Yeah.
Four walls, floor to ceiling. Yeah. What kind of time are we talking? Is that a day? Is it 2 days worth of a guy stripping?
It can be 2-3 days.
Okay.
It could be 2-3 hours.
It all depends.
If it was properly installed.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not fun because then you have to skim coat the walls, spackle them, prime them, skim coat them again if you need to. And that is kind of, for interior painting, that's really the only unknown when it comes to estimating, is how long is this wallpaper going to take to remove?
Right. And how many layers?
Yes, that too.
There can be 2-3 layers sometimes in older homes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's tough. You said one thing that I want to come back to, which is putting primer over fresh spackle spots. And I think that is like the number one mistake that DIYers
yeah.
do.
Yeah. That is number one, right? And associated with that also too is painting over spackle dust. So a lot of times people will have bubbling or failing walls and they don't understand why. They think it's the paint. Well, it's what it's adhering to. Or similar to painting over oil-based paint without priming it. Mm-hmm. It'll just scratch right off. But yes, spot priming wall paint is huge, spot priming drywall, spackle, mm-hmm. is huge because it helps with adhesion.
Yes.
There's really only a few reasons people need to prime. One is for stain blocking.
Yeah.
Another one is for adhesion. And they're primarily the only two. Like, I do get questions from time to time. Oh, do you need to prime my walls? No, they're in good condition. You don't need to prime them. Or changing, like, a really dark color.
Right, right. And you opt for the tinted primer, I assume?
Yes. There's a P1 through P5.
Yeah, and that's huge. So if you're going from, you know, say, beige to dark navy, you want to get that primer tinted, and it will help that final coat of navy kind of adhere better and be more, you know, solid.
Yep.
And this is why, as much as I DIY, and honestly, we hired a painter once to do our foyer because it was two stories, mm-hmm. you know. But otherwise, for every other room, I'm a DIYer. I'm going to paint. But there are many people for whom DIYing their paint is not possible.
Yeah.
You know, physically, they don't have the stamina. They don't have the time. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're just not good at it.
Or they hate the prep.
They hate the prep. The prep.
That is the worst part of painting.
Yeah. My husband hates the ceilings. Yeah. He's like, I'll paint anything except a ceiling. Don't tell me. Well, I should say, and the trim. So he does the rolling and I do all the trim.
There you go.
You know, because we have found. So any tricks or knacks for cutting in?
So don't be afraid to use paint, right? You can always go get more paint. Don't skimp out on it. I would say the trick is to get on eye level with what you're painting. So you don't want to look up at what you're cutting or down at what you're cutting. Move quick is another trick. People think that you have to go like with an artist brush very slow. And it actually like I could go paint a straight line with 5 cups of coffee and no breakfast. Because once you get a nice good amount of paint on your brush and you move a little bit quick, it's almost like drawing a straight line.
The momentum.
Imagine a pencil, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to draw a circle and go very slow – or just do a quick circle, which one probably going to be straighter?
It's smoother, yeah.
Very similar. So they're my two tricks for cutting in a top line. Move quick and be generous with the paint.
Yeah.
I laugh because I feel like these are all the things that you've told me over the years, but I've been trying to help you paint.
The last trick would be use the same color and ceiling as the walls.
Oh, that's always that's a blessing. If you do that, then you're like, or you add crown molding after you paint the ceiling. And you're like, then all you have to do is, you know, put your little bead of painter's caulk and you're done.
That's it.
You know?
And you don't even have to be great at doing some cove cutting because you can buy those little blocks to put in there.
Right, right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about corners and all that stuff. So that's kind of funny. I heard somebody one time say that they don't like to paint in the winter because the rooms are too cold. Any thoughts on temperatures for interior and exterior? Like what's the...
So interior, yes, you do need it temperature controlled, right? You don't want it to be too hot in the room. You don't want it to be too cold in the room. When paint dries, it off gases. It can actually create condensation on your walls. And we've had this happen in projects where the home wasn't heated properly. It can create condensation and water. And then that makes a faulty product. You also don't want it too hot because it won't dry. So for the interior, that's about 70 degrees is typically.
Okay. So if you want to paint in the summer, have the AC on to control humidity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or give your painters permission to adjust the temperature as needed.
Okay.
For the exterior, hot is not great either. You can go down to 35 degrees overnight for 48 hours, believe it or not. Most exterior paints.
Okay. I always tell people, read the label.
Yes.
Read the can. All the instructions are there.
It's not that hard. Actually, little tip, the can has taken away a lot of instructions. If you go to the paint manufacturer's websites and you get what's called a PDS, product data sheet, you will get a description of the primers to use for different surfaces. It basically gives you a step-by-step process.
That is golden. Yeah. I never knew that.
PDS, product data sheet.
So there's more info on the website than there is on the can.
Yeah. way more. Wow. Now, the can will give you, like, dry time. There's other factors that play into X here, relative humidity. So, like, your dew point.
Yeah.
I've become kind of a paint nerd.
I'm all about that because it matters.
Yeah. Your dew point, which is, and I've learned a little bit about weather, too, how far your humidity is away from your temperature matters for dry time, too.
Okay.
So exterior, you don't want to paint when it's super hot, but you can paint when it's super hot, meaning you work with the shade and things like that.
Okay. So don't paint in the sun.
Yeah.
Because it's
not 110 degree sun.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, this is all like just really juicy, useful, practical things.
I love paint, like chemistry and that kind of stuff. Used to serve on multiple boards in the industry, and I love it. I have a passion for it.
Yeah, and it is fascinating how we've been able to move away from some of the VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, and now we have some healthier paint products out there, which is really big.
We get that question a lot, VOCs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people don't even know what VOCs are, which is like they're like, ah, isn't there, oh. Have you ever had new carpets? And they're like, yeah, well, what do you think of that? It's great. All that smell you smell is VOCs.
Right.
New sneakers. I love it. New car. I love a new car smell.
Yeah. It's all
VOCs.
Yep. And if we can reduce some of that, it's healthier.
So most people use.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's important. So let's move outside and talk about your power washing services because We were chatting, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I find that it's really fascinating that people don't understand pricing, you know, roof washing, like power washing versus roof washing. And I was like, tell me more about that.
When we first started power washing, it was myself and Scott, who's been our longest tenured employee. But actually, Angelina has 100% like taken over the power washing side of the business. She does like all the estimates.
You're on the roof?
No.
All the other stuff.
So, yeah.
So well, with...
Oh, well, you were going... I thought you were going
I'm handing it off to you.
Oh. Well, you started with you and Scott. I thought you were going to go into...
No, I mean, so like, you know, the process, the estimating and...
Yeah. So our power washing, so we specialize in soft washing, which we were talking about before, the difference between soft washing and power washing. Do you want to give that definition?
Power washing or pressure washing is high pressure, which we do very little of anymore.
Okay.
And the philosophy behind that is we just don't want to damage the area that we're cleaning. We're there to clean, not necessarily to remove with water.
So it's too abrasive and people are etching
hot
materials.
Wood or stucco. Stucco is the worst thing to get water behind. Soft washing is the use of chemicals and soaps to assist with the cleaning of an area.
Okay.
Yeah. So soft washing is really sanitizing and kind of killing the mold, mildew, algae, as opposed to just using high pressure to blast away the surface dirt and grime.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do a lot of soft washing of houses, stucco, siding, and then we do a lot of roof washing. And roof washing is great because I think, like you were saying, a lot of people don't realize that those black streaks that they see on the roof, which is a... I never can say this
magma?
Name.
lichen.
It's algae that's growing on the roof that's causing the black streaks. And with a roof wash, that same day, it's gone.
Wow.
So talk about curb appeal.
Yeah.
If you're selling your house.
That's huge.
Yeah. Not moss. Moss takes a little while. But
And it's so much thicker.
Yeah, so moss is like the spongy green stuff that you see on your roof. So that's more of a longer process. That could be like a couple weeks up to a couple months. To fall off.
If somebody hires you to do that soft roof washing, and you know they're listing their house, so what is an average price for say you know a 3,000 square foot 2-story house? What would a price be for that ballpark?
So ballpark a 3,000 square foot house like A-frame roof that has let's say average moss and mildew.
Right.
I would say between $595 and $795.
Okay. So $600 to $800.
Yep. $600 to $800.
And the like you said, the curb appeal, the resale value. I mean, having somebody come to the house and go, oh wow, like it avoids people going, ooh, that roof looks old.
Oh yeah, you see that roof? Oh, that might need to be replaced or repaired, or there might be a lot of, you know,
issues.
People start thinking more money down the road. So
that's
if you have
investment.
A nice clean roof, then you don't even need to worry about the roof. You just look at the rest of the house. So we work with a lot of realtors in the spring, obviously the spring season is our busiest time with roof washing.
How long does that last, that roof washing?
I guess I like to tell people how long did it take to get there?
Okay.
And they're like, oh, because it matters where the sun sets, where it rises, what
tree
trees
coverage,
you have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What trees you've taken away. So I would say average is probably 5 years for a roof to come, for some stains to come back, start coming back. A wash is probably anywhere from 2 to 4 years, depending on.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we have some clients that want to get their house washed every year.
Okay.
Especially get like a house wash with gutter cleaning.
Okay.
And there's some who we see every 2 years. I would say most likely 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then some people just one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just satisfied with that, you know?
Right. So what are the surfaces that you are like, we cannot power wash that, that people come to you about?
There's probably not much. We do sidewalks. We do graffiti removal. We do roofs. There are some things that we do use high pressure on. That's concrete surfaces.
Okay.
We wash lead-based paint jobs.
Okay.
Because we have our soft washing. We're not blasting lead all over the place.
Okay.
Which matters, too, because we are a lead-certified company. But
that's great.
There's not really much we can't wash.
Yeah, I would say the only... Some red flags for me whenever I see these come through are some copper gutters.
Yep.
Trying to avoid those because we're using the solution and we don't want it to hit the copper
gutters.
Yeah,
basically gutters. What we use is, there's no secrets in the industry. It's basically chlorine, soap, and water. Now, it's a little more chemical makeup to that.
Right.
But the chlorine does react to certain things.
Right, like copper.
So it will like patina the copper. And then if somebody has a house that has no gutters.
That's tough.
Yeah. Because then you're just pretty much putting the solution on and it's just dripping right down into the soil or garden bed or something like that. Okay.
And then, of course, Trex, you have to be careful with.
Yeah, Trex, you don't want a power wash.
Right.
We do use similar solutions to that.
Okay.
Which actually, if you see on the PDS sheets, everything has a PDS sheet. It does recommend certain ways to clean, which is how we clean.
Yeah, because there's a lot of homeowners. I mean, we do power wash our Trex, but we know we do it on the lowest setting and we stay far away, you know, because you don't want to etch. But there are some people that go crazy with the power washer and then they leave damage.
Yeah.
And then you're kicking yourself.
I know. We've washed a few houses where we've seen the damage from previous power washers.
Most of the time. Most of the time, what I was going to get to is that the previous damage is on what they call Generation 1 Trex, where it looks cloudy and plasticky.
Yeah.
That was actually, there was a class action lawsuit against Trex because of that.
Okay.
You can stain those, like with a deck stain.
And bring them back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Okay. Yeah. That's terrific. Is there any other tips and tricks that you wish homeowners knew about getting the ball rolling on these projects, you know, like questions that they need to think about before they hire you for these services? You know, if they're going to do that, the power washing, like what prep do they need to do before you come out?
For the painting side, it's just being vulnerable, actually, and transparent with whoever's giving you an estimate. Honesty and transparency is really the best way to go about things. Get a clear scope. So on our estimates, it tells us if we're priming in an area, what primer we're using. It says just read your scope of work and make sure it's clear.
Okay.
Really, like, that is my two biggest things is just be a little vulnerable, right? Trusting. Not everybody's out to get everybody, right?
Right.
And trust your gut.
Yeah.
I think with paint also knowing what materials are being used is helpful because there's a lot of different levels of quality of paints.
And have that conversation with your painter to make sure that you're getting, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you may not need emerald on a guest bedroom that's not getting used, you know. So it's like putting the Rolls Royce in a shack of a garage. You know what I mean? So it's choosing the right quality. And all that.
I know it's not probably a typical answer, but like these guys that you get estimates from and gals that you get estimates from, trust them. They're the professionals.
Right.
Right. I really don't think people intend to do a bad job.
Right.
I think that when bad jobs happen, it's because they're only educated that far. Mm. I don't think it's intentional.
Right. Educate yourself before you get involved.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I have one last question for you. If you were a tool, what would you be and why?
I'd say 5-in-1 tool for a painter.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yep. Because it does everything.
It does. It does.
You know, it's a multi-purpose tool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, it's like 5 tools in 1, a little scraping, a little sanding. I'm not sanding, a little
open
hammering.
Cans,
yeah, open cans.
Yeah. Does it all.
Yeah.
That's just like answer. You guys do it all.
Is there a 6-in-1?
There is.
I just want to be like one step ahead of you.
That's funny. Well, you know, check out, you know, this paint company. They're in servicing Philadelphia, Montgomery County, Bucks County, and the area. And their website is, you know, below on the video link here. And thank you, Christian and Angelina, for being here.
Thank you.
And,
no, thank you for having us.
You know, glad that we could share. And as I say, and every episode here is, doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone. And there are great professionals out there that can make your home exactly how you want it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.